So let me take you down a memory lane for a second, something the young whippersnappers will know nothing about. Guys, if you'll put that picture on the screen, something called a family picture album. Come on, how many of you remember them? Tracy used to go to these parties where they would scrapbook, and they would just, yes, some of you, I mean, she had this huge suitcase where they would go and they would take all of their Polaroid pictures and all of their pictures, and they would decorate the page and put it on. But those albums have wedding pictures and birthday pictures and Little League pictures and graduation pictures and Christmas pictures, vacation pictures, and then sometimes funeral pictures. Each picture captures a different season of your life. Now, some of them, you were living through those moments and you said, I hope this season never ends. And some of those pictures you're saying, I wish I could fast forward and get out of this season. What we learn from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, life is made up of seasons. Some of them we celebrate. Some of those we dance a jig. And some of them we just hold on to survive them and get through. Some of them we wish we could repeat. And some of them we wish they would just hurry up and get out of our minds so we don't even have to remember them. Solomon teaches us this in this passage today. Every season that you will ever go through was ordained and orchestrated by Almighty God. That's what he says in this passage. Sometimes parents are surprised by seasons. Sometimes children are surprised by seasons. Sometimes spouses are surprised by seasons. God is never surprised by a season that you go through. They're all according to his plan, according to his will. Three lessons this morning to remember in every season of life. Sermon I've entitled, Seasons Greetings. Now, I'm not going to sing We Wish You a Merry Christmas or anything, but it's dealing with the seasons of life. There on your outline, notice, first of all, the providence of seasons. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Season refers to an appointed time. So nothing that takes place in your life is random. Nothing takes God by surprise. Just as creation operates in seasons, you have summertime, that's hot. You have fall, where the leaves get really pretty and then they fall off. And then you have winter's time, where you are freezing and longing for summer. And then you come to springtime. Just as nature has seasons, our lives in the same way move through appointed seasons. Solomon says, not every season is enjoyable. Some of them are painful. Some of the seasons are confusing. Some of the seasons just exhaust us and we come hobbling out of that season. Here's what he teaches us. This verse, to everything there is a season. He says every season has a purpose. He says, every season, now some of you get your hanky out on this one, will not last forever. So if you say, well, I want this season to go on and seasons don't last forever. But every season you go through is appointed by God. Look at the verse. A time to every purpose under the sun. Solomon doesn't say that every event has its time. He says every purpose has its time. So God's calendar is driven by a purpose. God's calendar for you what you're going through, if it's wonderful or if it's awful, God's got a purpose for that season. Let me put it like this. Everything, notice that word, everything that happens in your life, good and bad, everything is for God's purpose, and it is in His timing. We're to accept it because we live underneath the clouds. God rules above the clouds. So we're not orchestrating our life. We're submitting, God, You are in heaven. You know what's best for me. So I'm going to trust You. I'm going to depend upon You in this season. Think about King David. He knew seasons. There was the season of being a shepherd boy. There was a season of being a fugitive. There was a season of being a king. He knew those seasons and he experienced it. How about Moses? Moses knew the Egyptian season. He knew what it was like to grow up in Pharaoh's household. He knew that Midian season where he had to run for his life. And he knew the wilderness season, those 40 years of going, he knew seasons. God is behind and has a purpose for every season that you will ever go through. If it's wonderful and if it's outstanding, if it's awful and you just want to get through it. Tell you who else knows about seasons. Farmers. Farmers know seasons. They know when you plant, the harvest is not going to come up the next day. You can get down on the ground and you can beat it and you can get it, plead with it. But there's seasons. You go through this season before you come to the next one. Tracy and I went on a trip out of town this week. And we were looking at our plane reservations the day before we're supposed to leave. I said, honey, our plane leaves at 6 o'clock in the morning from Raleigh. She said, 6 o'clock in the morning? I said, yeah, it's like there is a 6 o'clock in the morning and we're leaving Raleigh at 6 o'clock. She said, it's an hour and 15 minutes away. I said, yep. So that's 4:45. She said, we're supposed to be there an hour ahead of time. I said, that's 3:45. She said, that means I got to get up an hour before that. I said, yeah, that's 2:45. She said, who scheduled this flight? I said, God. So we do. Honestly, I'll praise her. She was ready to go at 3:45. Jumped in the car, 3:45. There's no traffic on 40. There's not. We just zip, zip right down there. Get there, walk up to the Delta gate. They say, hey, thank you, whatever stuff. They put us on the plane. It's like, hot diggity dog, here we go. We're going to Florida. And the pilot comes on the intercom and says, we have a mechanical issue. And they can't find a part to replace the part that's bad on the plane. So we're going to fly in the part from Atlanta, and it'll be here about 10 o'clock, and maybe you'll be able to leave at 11 o'clock. Tracy says, I could be sleeping right now. Now listen, I wasn't liking it. They don't have good food in the airport, and I wasn't liking it. But that wasn't to harm me. It was to protect me. And when we're going through seasons, I don't like this season. Why am I having to wait? It's not for your detriment. God's got a purpose. It's for your good. Number one, the providence that we see of seasons. Secondly, notice the paradox of seasons. Now, some of you are going to see this and you're going to fall out on me. Solomon gives us 14 positives and 14 negatives. They fall into really three different categories. So I'm going to go through all 28, and we're going to get out here, I promise, before 2 o'clock. Look at verse 2. A time to be born and a time to die. It starts with two uncontrollable dates. You had no say when you were born, and you'll have no say when you die. God determines your entrance, and God will determine your exit. Psalm 31, verse 15. My time is in thy hand. Your life is really not even in your doctor's hands. It's in God's hands. So he's saying, hey, all of you are going to be born. There's one extreme. And all of you are going to die. I'm controlling it. Look on. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. Parents are constantly doing this. They're not just planting flowers and they're not just planting gardens. They're planting habits. They're planting character. They're planting values. They're planting faith. Children don't suddenly just become godly. No. Parents have been planting these characteristics in them day after day, week after week, month after month, for years. When a father prays for his children at night, when they're 5, they don't understand it. When they're 15, they remember it. When they're 25, they're praying for their own children because you just kept sowing. Look what it says. A time to plant and a time to pluck up. Galatians reminds us, we will reap if we faint not. Look at verse 3. A time to kill and a time to heal. There are painful separations. Then comes times of healing. God wounds sometimes so that he can bind us up and make us stronger. A time to break down and a time to build up. Sometimes God tears down unhealthy patterns in our life. The pride, the bad habits, the selfishness, the unforgiveness. He removes what weakens us so that he can make us stronger. Look at the next verse. First two verses are referring to our physical life. The second is referring to our emotional life. Verse 4, a time to weep and a time to laugh. God designed families to do both. God doesn't promise laughter every day, but he does promise that joy comes in the morning. You go to the hospital. One end of the hospital, they're delivering babies and they're shouting, and you got grandpas dancing a jig. And then you go to the other end of the hospital and someone's losing loved ones and they're sobbing, and they're a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance. Grief has a God-given place. Some people say, I don't mourn, I'm just going to skip it. God says, don't skip it. Mourning is biblical. Healing comes through shedding tears. Look at the next verse. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. Sometimes relationships need boundaries. Sometimes they need restoration. Wisdom knows the difference. Look at it. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. Parents understand this. There's a time when you're a parent, when that child comes up and it says, Daddy, I want to hold your hand. I want to hold your hand. I want to hold your hand. And then they become a teenager and they no longer want to hold your hand. Wisdom requires discernment. Not every opportunity is from God that you should embrace. Sometimes you should refrain from embracing. Verses 6 through 8 references our spiritual life. Look at verse 6. A time to get and a time to lose. Everything we possess is temporary. Job lost it all. Yet he never lost his faith and he never lost his God. A time to keep and a time to cast away. holding on can become idolatry. Sometimes we are known as hoarders. Come on, let me see some hands. Anybody know a hoarder? I'm not saying you're a hoarder. Anybody know a hoarder? They just keep getting and getting and getting. Somebody told me yesterday. I said, what are you doing? He said, preacher, we are having a summer clean out party. I said, a party? He said, no, we're just cleaning out and getting rid of junk that accumulates in the house. Look what it says. A time to keep and a time to cast away, verse 7. A time to rend and a time to sew. Rending garments symbolize grief. Sewing symbolize restoration. God specializes in bringing broken things, torn things together. Look at the next one. We talked about this last week. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. Now, all of you understand this. Not saying all of you obey it, but all of you understand it. What's a red light for? Talk to me. Stopping. What's the yellow light for? Slowing down, not speeding up. What's the green light for? Look at the verse again. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. That's what wisdom does. Sometimes the best thing for you to say is nothing. And sometimes you need to go and be the first one. I'm so sorry. Will you forgive me for what I did or for what I said? Look at the next verse. Verse 8. A time to love and a time to hate. This isn't personal hatred. It is loving what God loves and hating what God hates. Believers should hate evil, not people. Time of war and a time of peace. Not every battle is avoidable. Neither is every battle sinful. Sometimes peace comes when you are willing to stand for truth and stand all by yourself for truth. A time for peace and a time for war. You'll remember Nehemiah. He's building those walls. Do you remember what the builders had in each hand? A sword in one hand and a trowel in the other. They're laying the block, but when the enemy came, they had to fight off the enemy. That's what he's saying here. Here's how I would bring it all together. Many of us have mortgages on our home, and we make the monthly mortgage payment because there's coming a day, if we live long enough, that house is going to be paid for. Free and clear, all we'll know is property taxes on it. But we'll own that house. What this is saying, daily investments may seem small. But those daily investments, they accumulate and they'll last for a lifetime. Does reading your Bible to your children matter? Oh yeah, it does. Praying with your children doesn't matter. Oh, yeah. You say, oh, it's not a big deal. Oh, it does. Just like those mortgage payments. In the good seasons, in the bad seasons, you just keep doing it day after day, week after week, month after month, and it will yield a huge investment. The providence of seasons. The paradox of seasons. Let me give you this third one. Principles from seasons. And I'm going to give you four things to jot down here in just a second. So after listing the 14 pairs of life seasons, Solomon explains why these seasons exist. Now look at verse 11. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. It doesn't say in my time. It doesn't say he's made everything beautiful when I understand. He says he's made everything beautiful in his time. So you say, well, what's going on in my life is not beautiful. Here's the lesson today. Trust the Lord. Lean on the Lord. Depend on the Lord. He will make it beautiful in his time. Look on. Also, He has set the world in their heart. The world there means eternity. So he has set eternity in your heart. God has placed within every person an awareness that there is something that's beyond this life. People desire purpose and meaning and significance because God has placed eternity, the world is what it says, in our hearts so that we are longing for more. Nothing under the sun satisfies. And the reason is because man was made for something above the sun, and that's eternity. So he goes through all of these seasons, a time to be born, a time to die, time for peace, time for war. What's the point? The answer is not here. The answer is not in stuff. The answer is leaning upon the Lord. Notice the last part of the verse. So that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. God intentionally limits our understanding. He allows us to know enough to trust Him for survival, but not to know so much that we forget Him and try to do it on ourselves. You see, we see moments. God sees history. When we're looking, we see chapters. God sees the entire book. Let me illustrate like this. Let's say, and I like John Grisham, let's say that you got one of these big old John Grisham novels. And I say, okay, read one page, pick any page in the book, and summarize the book. So you read the one page. The characters are confusing. The conflict seems huge. But the author understands how every page and every conflict and every character fit together perfectly. Listen, God is the author of your life. You're not. So you're saying, well, if I can finagle, if I can do this, if I can just jump out of this situation. Somebody say, well, if I was in a different marriage, I'd be all right. If I had a different job, I would be all right. Well, if I lived at a different location, I would be right. Somebody say, well, if I was married, I would be all right. Well, if I had kids, then I would be all right. No. Those are all externals. The answer is not in the externals. The answer is trusting the author, which is God. Let me give you four principles we learn. God develops character in our lives through seasons. Fruit never appears overnight, neither does godliness. God uses the ordinary days where you're taking kids to basketball practice, where you're cooking meals, where you're doing family devotions, where you're just having conversation. God uses and develops character just through the rhythms and the seasons of life. So listen, single mom, you are making a difference. You just stay faithful. And you say, I don't know if my kids are going to turn out for God. Hey, just stay faithful. Keep praying. Keep giving them the word. Keep modeling Jesus. That God develops character through seasons. Second lesson, second principle we learn. Every season prepares us for the next season. Now notice, every pair moves forward. Birth leads to death. Planting leads to harvest. Tearing down leads to building. Nothing stays the same, and neither should we. Now, you understand this. Every one of you understand this. Even the people way up there in the balcony. Right here. What comes after you graduate from kindergarten? What's next? First grade. What comes after first grade? Second grade. That might be a second grader. What comes after second grade? Third grade. I'm glad I got one person that's not a Baptist in here that will speak up. You get it? But if you were to say, okay, graduated from kindergarten, I'm going to 12th grade. Say, no. No, no, you got to go through each grade because they build upon one another, and each grade prepares you for the next one. So it is with seasons. So many times in my life, I would say, I don't like this season. Let me just escape out of this season, and I want to test out of it, and I'll go to the next season. And God says, no, you don't test out of the season until you pass it. And you haven't passed it yet. Let me take you down memory lane. There's a time for diapers. I'm glad those days are over. There's a time for driver's license. There's a time for graduations. There's a time for grandchildren. Which one's the best? The one you're in. That's the one that's best. And you are to depend upon the Lord and say, God, what do you want me to learn? And how do you want to show yourself strong to me during this season? Don't rush God's seasons that He has designed. And don't waste them, because you will never get them back. Someone said, the good old days are usually discovered 10 years too late. And what I say, today is the good old days. You say, no, the 70s, the 60s. I wasn't living in the 60s. Today is the day that you have been given by God. Today is the good old day. Number three. Greatest tragedy is living in the wrong season. Wisdom is learning to live in the season that God has given you. Many people want to hurry, let me get out of this season. I don't like it. It's not meshing with me. If only I was older. If only I was younger. If only I was married. If only I were single. If only I had more money. If only we didn't have so many problems. Meanwhile, life just quietly passes you by. These are the good old days. Make the most of them. Number three, the greatest tragedy is trying to live in the wrong season. Number four, don't get this. It's right there in verse 11. Jesus is Lord of every season. The greatest comfort isn't knowing what season's next. Okay, I'm in this season now. Come on, next season. What's it going to be? No. The greatest comfort isn't knowing what season comes next. It's knowing who is going to be with you in every season. And that's Jesus. Christ is the fulfillment of this verse. Look at verse 11. He hath made everything. Everything includes every season that you will ever go through in His time. Also, He has set the world in their heart so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from beginning to the end. He perfectly fulfills Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. Jesus makes all things beautiful. Through the gospel, Jesus transforms sinners bad into saints, which is good. He transforms ashes into beauty. He changes crosses into crowns and brings life out of death. So some of you are in this season saying, oh, I like and I miss the last season. Some of you are saying, no, I don't like this season. Next season, hurry up and get here. Can I give you a better choice? God, you're sovereign. You're in control. I'm not. I'm going to trust you and depend upon you in this season that I'm in. Britton, come up here and help me. Remember Joseph? had these big plans, had these big dreams. And yet, he got thrown into a pit by his brothers. Man, I don't like pits. They're dark, they're dingy, they're murky, and there's snakes in pits. I don't like pits. Listen, there was a purpose behind his pit. And then he was sold to Potiphar's wife, and Potiphar's wife lied about him. He said, I don't like this season, but there was a purpose behind Potiphar's house. Then he gets thrown into prison. Wait a minute. What happened to my grandiose dreams and plans that God gave me? But there was a purpose and there was a plan in his prison time. And then God moved him to the palace. And there was a purpose and there was a plan. Listen to it. Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. But as for you, Joseph is talking, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. You say, what is that all about? His season, he depended upon God. He trusted God. He wasn't saying, I had it so much better back when I was with my daddy, when I had my fancy coat. God has placed me here now. I'm going to trust him now. I'm going to depend upon him now. And God will provide everything that you need. Mr. Britton, can you just give me a note? Just any note, whatever note you feel like playing on that whole piano thing. Sorry, it does nothing for me. Can you give me maybe two notes? Now, you really bless me a lot of times. You really encourage me a lot of times, but you're doing nothing for me, and all these people are sitting here watching. One more time, give me three notes. That's what you call a really bad season. And you know, during those times, instead of saying, I don't like that note, or I don't like those notes, or those three, I don't know how you chose those three, they don't belong in my life. It's saying, no, you're the professional here, I'm not. And I'm just going to trust you to lead us in worship. Would you worship with him as he leads us in the song Through It All?
I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions for tomorrows. There have been times I didn't know right from wrong. But in every situation, God gave blessed consolation that my trials only come to make me strong. Through it all, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, through it all, I've learned to depend upon His Word. I thank God for the mountains, and I thank Him for the valleys. I thank Him for the storms He's brought me through. For if I'd never had a problem, I wouldn't know that He could solve them, and I'd never know what faith in God could do. Through it all, yes, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, yes, through it all, I've learned. depend upon His word.
Let's all stand. Let's sing that last verse. I thank Him for the mountains, and I thank Him for the valleys. Sing it with Him as your testimony and your praise to God Almighty. Come on, it's not time to leave, it's time to sing.
I thank God for the mountains, and I thank Him for the valleys. I thank Him for the storms He's brought me through. For if I'd never had a problem, I wouldn't know that He could solve them, and I'd never know what faith in God could do. Through it all, yes, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, yes, through it all, I've learned to depend upon His word.
Give Him just the chord. Just do the chorus without Him playing, just as your song of praise to Jesus, through it all.
Through it all, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, yes, through